To be let, furnished by the month or year, The Cedars, a pretty, rustic cottage, delightfully situated in Ranstone Park, Berkshire, with right of fishing in the trout stream. For particulars, apply to Mr. Newton, house agent, Reading. This advertisement arrested my attention as I, Percival Wilford, barrister at law, glanced over the columns of the Times one August morning, 10 or 12 years ago. It seemed like an answer to the question I had been deliberating as I sat at breakfast in my dull temple chambers, namely, where should I spend the long vacation? I had reached that sedate period of life when one begins to realize that there is no joy but calm, and my ideal of a holiday retreat was some quiet, leafy nook where I could read and dream and go a-fishing and forget for a time that such things as briefs existed. I may add that I had only my own taste to consult in the matter, having the misfortune, to which I am perfectly resigned, to be a bachelor. I made a note of the advertisement and resolved to run down to the place next day and see whether it answered to its attractive description. Accordingly, on the following afternoon, I took train to Reading and walked thence to the village of Ranstone, which consisted of one long uphill street, beginning with a blacksmith's forge and ending with a barn. Midway between them stood an inn, the Golden Sheaf. Feeling somewhat fatigued by a 5-mile walk along dusty country roads, I turned to this hostelry to refresh myself with a glass of ale and inquire on my way. The landlord, a red-faced, burly man in shirt sleeves and a white apron, seemed puzzled by my question.
The Cedars. Oh, I understand, sir. You mean the little thatched house in the park? We call it Ranstone's Folly.
Why folly?
Well, sir, because it's a fanciful sort of place and was built for a whim. Sir Richard Ranstone, the father of the present baronet, designed it himself when a young man and used to shut himself up there to scribble poetry. Since his death, it has been let from time to time, but not often. Such a lonesome, out-of-the-way place don't suit everyone.
I fancy it will just suit me, I remarked. My host scanned me curiously as he set down the glass at my elbow.
Perhaps you're in the poetical line yourself, sir,
he suggested. I laughed and assured him that my line was nothing half so agreeable. And when I had finished, paid for my modest refreshment, and set off, hopefully, on my way. It led through the village and along the high road, and in about 10 minutes I came to the ivy-covered park wall, which was pleasantly shaded by trees. Presently I found myself opposite the lodge gates, my summons at which was answered by a neat, comely woman of middle age, to whom I explained my errand, and exhibited my credentials in the shape of the house agent's card.
The cottage is right on the other side of the park, sir, close to the stream. I'm sorry I can't show you the way, but Foster's out and I've no one to leave.
Has it been long unlet? I inquired.
Nigh upon 3 years. The last tenant only lived there 6 months. A lady named Lestelle.
That is a French name?
Yes, sir, she was French and had been a singer, I believe.
Lestelle? Was it Leonie Lestelle, I wonder, who took the town by storm a few seasons ago? But that is hardly probable.
What was she like, sir?
My companion inquired, looking interested.
Young and pretty?
More than pretty. She had one of the loveliest faces I ever saw, and a voice that matched it.
It must be the same. That's just her description. A beautiful young lady she was, and so gentle and sweet-spoken, it was a pleasure to serve her.
But what brought her to the Cedars? When she disappeared from London society about 4 years ago, it was supposed that she had returned to France. Was she living alone?
Quite alone.